You have arrived for the Yolanda Shoshana Show. Thank you so much for being here. This episode is all about wine and music, which is the perfect pairing. I had the pleasure of chatting with composer, arranger Patricia Tomasini. She's a graduate of Mann's College of Music in New York City. She's collaborated with ABT, BAM, and the St. Louis Symphony. She's appeared on stage and television with Sting, U2, Madonna, Michael Jackson, Gloria Estefan, Meatloaf, to name a few. She's performed at the Kennedy Center, the Tanglewood Music Festival, and the DC Jazz Festival. We get into some great pairings, why music is so good with wine, and so much more. So enjoy the show.
Can you tell the listeners how you got into music? Was this a family thing? Did you always know you loved music? Were you a lawyer at one time and then decided to become a musician?
No. So when I was very young, so I am from, first of all, I'm from Assisi, which is a small hill town in the Umbrian countryside that's really smack on central Italy. It's the only region that doesn't butt onto the sea. We are sort of mountain people. We are not shy, but we're not terribly friendly either. So we keep to ourselves, you know, just a fancier version of hillbillies, let's just put it. We are mountain billies, you know. So, the interesting thing about Assisi is that it is home to the Evangelist Friars. The Evangelist Catholic Friars are a branch of the Franciscan Friars within the Catholic Church. So it is the town where Francis, or St. Francis, for whomever is religious, was born. And the Evangelist Friars are the ones responsible for setting up the codexes from the Benedictine monks all the way through maybe the Renaissance period, 15th, 16th centuries. And with that comes a great deal of knowledge of music, of spices, using herbs and natural remedies, both for cooking and for as remedies. And then also music. So they were the ones that set up for the first time the pentagram as we know it, so that the five lines of music. So I studied with these guys, not the same ones from year 800, but but the place looks as old as that. If you ask, my husband is Australian, and every time we go there he feels like he's inside a Harry Potter episode that was never filmed, because it's all old brick and just as non-modern as you can possibly imagine it. To him, it looks like a weird adult kind of Disney World, you know, a set for some sort of a weird offshoot of Harry Potter. But anyway, so I started music there, and I was tested for it. I had good ears. I could hear things. But I started on the organ, and we have a 11th century organ. That's a big pipe organ in our church in town, and they used to attach enormous sponges to the bottoms of my feet so my feet could reach the pedals so I could play. So I really didn't start on the violin. And it was a great deal of fun. Let me tell you that the application of the sponges to the bottoms of my feet was a lot of fun. So I started with learning the ancient codexes and understanding how music worked and harmonization. And then I, 2 years later, so now I'm 7 years old, because I was five when I started.
Wow.
I thought, gee, I love the sound of the violin, and let me do that. So that's what I did. And I was very lucky, because a very famous violinist had a summer home there. His name is Ruggero Ricci. He's passed since, but he was one of those big names like Yasha Heifetz back in the day. And he was just extraordinary. And he was my teacher through the years. And that plus the Friars, I started that way. But music was always a quintessential part of our lives there, you know. In church, actually, I was part of of the same St. Francis choir. And we sang everything from madrigals from, you know, the year from the 16, 1700s to Negro spiritual. So I had sort of...
Really?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
Music and it, you know, it just equals love and you
I love that.
And and you can ask me about anything from the madrigals to the pentatonic scale and into jazz, and I can talk to you about it.
That's
because of the
cool.
Evangelist Friars, yeah.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Do people come to visit that town? Not too many, I'm assuming. I don't know anything about this place at all.
A lot of people. Our biggest really seller at the moment, especially in the summer, is tourism. And from we split about 70% to 30%. 70% of the tourism is religious, and 30% is historic tourism, you know, people who just are fascinated by medieval towns and how they function, and get sort of gobsmacked how you don't need air conditioning because the walls are such thick brick and stone. So
sounds absolutely amazing. So therefore, so how do you think music and wine pair together? How do you think that music can affect someone's sipping experience?
Oh, I think it is absolutely quintessential. I mean, I think to drink in silence, like in a vacuum tube, that is very sad to me. You know, like so we actually from in Italy, in my town, and in a wider spectrum of what Italy is, we just have to clack our glasses, because wine is the taste. It's got a smell, that's the nose. And then you need the sound. So that's why we clack our glasses when we say to your health or whatever. You know how you touch your glass
Absolutely.
To another person's glass. So we need sound with that. It's where that's born from. And I think if I really want to be honest, I think it's depending on what I'm doing, my taste for what I'd like to drink or what I'd like to listen changes greatly. But often what I'd like to drink and what I'm listening to are sort of a twofer.
Right. I like that.
Yeah. They just go together for me. You know, imagine if you had the visuals of the movie, but you turned the sound down. You
yeah,
know?
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's not so exciting. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
So I know you have some pairings you want to talk to us about today, which I'm excited about. Let's get into that.
So again, Umbria is landlocked. We are not swimmers, so we don't swim, we don't like the sea, we don't get into water, we do shower, we clean people, but it's the only landlocked region in Italy.
Okay.
And as I was saying at the beginning, to ourselves, and we also because of that, we're not really that's my little dog barking, we're not really interested in you liking us. It's sort of irrelevant for us. And
I like it.
From that stems a weird, interesting conundrum where I used to interpret in my youth, that's how I put myself through the conservatory in New York City, I used to interpret for something called the Fancy Food Fair at the Javits Center.
It yes,
every
absolutely.
Summer. Yeah.
Huge.
I used to interpret for... It's a huge thing, and for all the Italian companies who would come, and they always had trouble with the Umbrian wines, because distributors would come by and we could just do this and that for you and blah, and they just were not interested. They're like, yeah, we don't want to be that big. We just want to stay small. Do you like it? Just have a sip of this. Don't have a second bottle. Just have this bottle. And then next year we'll bring another bottle. And they were like, yeah, that is so weird to us, you know. So that's really what's happening with Umbrian wines. You can most certainly find them. They're like the pretty forgotten sister, like if you take Claudia Schiffer or Penelope Cruz, they both have sisters. And then on the news, we get surprised and we're like, oh my God, there's a sister. The sister is better looking than the model or the actress. And what happened there? That's how I feel about our wines compared to Tuscan wines. Tuscan wines are so, so famous. And they established the DOC and DOCGs. and they are just so fabulous. And some are bold, some are light, and everything in between. And we are like, I think we are equally interesting, but we don't sell ourselves well. So this is why I was very excited to come on to your show, because I think people need to try this stuff. So may I start with the, should we do white or red?
Let's go with the whites. I have had white from that area, and it was absolutely delicious. And I can't remember who sent it to me, because people send me so many wines. But I have had that area from the region, and it's wonderful. You're right.
Right.
A lot of people don't know about them.
So you can. So mostly people will know about the Orvieto Classico, which is, you know, you find it anywhere. It's about $10 a bottle,
mm-hmm.
and it's great. But we have two more grapes that I absolutely love, and you can find them in different stores and online. And the first one is a Grechetto. It's spelled Grechetto. And it is really a fermented or aged, almost the grape taken to the point of becoming a must,
mm-hmm.
and then made a wine out of it. So it's like the interesting sister of a generic Chardonnay.
Yeah.
It is a little bit fruity, but not too much. So it's not as fruity as a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc would be. You know, it's just in your face. It's not as creamy as a French Chardonnay tends to be, even a Sancerre. It's really that in-between interesting thing where it's got green apple tones and smoothness and almost a bitter aftertaste, but not apple bitter like in a Verdicchio, if you've tried that. So it's a specific thing unto itself. And you can find it in most places. There's that wine store on 68th Street and Lexington that is pretty large. I can't think of the name of it now. But 68th and Lexington, and there's another one just south of Cooper Square.
Aster Wine?
Thank you.
They also carry it.
Yeah, they also carry it. So that would be the Grechetto, which I highly recommend for something different for your summer. And, of course, it needs to be had chilled. And this one, because of the interesting palate, I would pair it with chicken or pork or fish.
Mm.
If you do a pork with caper berries and raspberry balsamic reduction, and you know.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. That sounds great.
Pork medallions with that. It's just beautiful.
What kind of music should one play when one is having this delicious meal and wine?
I just find this wine to be sort of very light and fluffy, and I would go with just your favorite things that could be as silly as Annie's Song, you know, John Denver, or
favorite.
Yeah, I know.
I used to love John Denver. Don't tell anybody.
yeah, bringing you back to.
I know.
but just that sort of sweetness from the 60s and 70s. It is a very old grape. So we keep to ourselves in Umbria. We don't like to tell you much about anything. And it takes a long time to get to know us. And here we are, you know, 1,800 years later, I'm telling you about this grape. That's just fabulous.
Right.
So it took us 1,800 years to be on your show. But here we are. So
what's next?
Yeah.
What other grape? What other wine should we be looking for?
So another white that I absolutely love, it goes by two names. One is Drupeggio, which is Drupeggio, but that is our that's the name that we give that grape. But in general, worldwide, if you look it up, it is called Cannaiolo Bianco. So a white Cannaiolo, Cannaiolo. Again, you can find it at the Aster Wine Place. This one is a little bit sweeter. It has honey tones through it. I would not have this one with fish because of the sweetness in it. It's not sweet per se, as in being a dessert wine, but you will most certainly taste like a Granny Smith with a honey end to it. So again, this one I would have with any sort of white meat, including pork. Both of these wines are, if you find them between $12 and $16, it depends who's selling it to you. So
absolutely.
I'd like for my table wine to be around, just not around, but under $20, because I tend to not cellar it. These don't cellar well, these two whites. So you can keep it for up to 6 months, but then you'll have to drink it. Yeah.
Right. All right. So they're young. They're young wines, and drink them immediately. Sounds good.
Right. Yeah. So just, liquor store to table within a couple of hours, done. Chilled. I'm not adverse to adding a cube of ice to it, or, I don't mean to demean the quality of that by saying that. I just like things really chilled. And we will actually have, if I'm having veal or even a steak that doesn't have a thick wine reduction around it, I would have it with this white wine. So in Umbria, we're not such sticklers to the French school of whites and reds and certain foods that you should never ever have with them. No. We chill our reds. So that is not a good French thing to say, that I chill my
well, no,
wine.
I mean, I always say have your wine the way you want it, and some of the things that they say are very French are actually very American, so it's not necessarily, it's very interesting.
You're right, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
So, okay,
yeah.
What reds do you have to recommend for us?
So, there are several, but one that is again, now we are matching up a little bit in price. So this next one in red is about $20 to $24. This is called a Torgiano, Torgiano. And it's got a grape in it that I adore, which is a Ciliegiolo. I will not spell that.
That's okay.
But really, in Italian, the word ciliegiolo means the little black cherry. So they're tiny little cherries. They're truly almost blacks, and they're so tart. So you almost wouldn't be able to drink a ciliegiolo that's 100% ciliegiolo. Some crazy buggers up in the mountains do make it that is 100%, but you're going to walk out of there with your lips cursed, like a cat's bottom. So you don't want to look like that. So don't try the Ciliegiolo. The 100% Ciliegiolo is a little bit too tart. But mix with the Cannaiolo and a little bit of Sangiovese, that's always good. This red wine that's called Torgiano, and it's just absolutely beautiful. Actually, this red wine got its highest classification from the Chianti region. It actually has more tannins than any other wine. So
interesting.
If you're trying to lose weight whilst drinking red wine, this might be the wine for you. I don't know.
Well, we're going to all go out and get this wine tomorrow.
Yeah, of course you would have to drink I don't know how many gallons a day to accomplish this. But,
that's okay.
Yeah. One of the grapes in this one is the Cannaiolo Rosso. So this same grape that comes in the white wine, it comes in a white version and a red version. The difference is that the white Cannaiolo grows in the valleys, and we have really, really deep valleys that are below sea level. So there we have almost like a pseudo-Mediterranean climate where palm trees could grow. And then you go up onto the steep hilltops, and you get almost a pre-alpine climate where you have terraced vineyards. So the red and the white have little in common, where you can't really mix them and create some sort of a rosé, if you were a crazy person to try to do that. But it is just absolutely beautiful. It's got a beautiful color if you hold it up in the light. It's got like sort of like raspberry. And if you smeared raspberry on that hide leather, you know, it has that sort of brown with red color that's just wonderful.
So when you're sipping this wine, what do you like to listen to? Anything in particular?
Here is where my heart, with a white and with the second white I mentioned I can listen to some jazz, but I like 1920s to 1950s, like, I don't know, Duke Ellington and anybody from that era. With the reds, I like a beat to them because they speak to me differently. You know, they're a little bit sturdier.
Sure.
So with the reds, I can listen to opera and see who gets killed at the end of it. By what means and who cheated on whom with whose sister or mother. It's like a very fancy, educated Jerry Springer show.
Absolutely.
So I really love it for the Torgiano wine. Something like that, where almost you sit in reverie and sip quietly and all is well with the world in the end, because you're not part of it, you're just watching it in your head, you know.
Right.
But of course I can listen to some really modern, silly stuff like the Gypsy Kings or Enrique Iglesias, and then it takes me into sort of a sexy drive right there.
Yeah,
it depends how many glasses I have. Yeah,
yeah. Especially if you're putting that Iglesias on, it's like, okay, that's a whole other level.
Right. Yes.
Do you have another red that you recommend?
Yes, I do, and this is my absolute favorite. This tends to be a little bit more costly. If you find it for around $40, it's extraordinary. I urge everyone to try this one for a special occasion. This is called the Sagrantino, Sagrantino, and it's a Sagrantino from the hilltop of Montefalco. Monte is mountain, but, you know, like a mount more than. So Montefalco, Montefalco. And this grape is absolutely extraordinary. I would say that it is the absolute best red wine. This is what I go to when I celebrate something, you know. It is 100% made of the Sagrantino grape. It is endemic and native of the hilltops in Umbria. And this too has more tannins than anything else because it's never been mixed, and the grape, you actually can't eat it raw like you would with other red grapes. The skin is so thick. It almost looks like a plum that's been coated in cocoa powder. And if you were to bite into it, it actually tastes like some sort of mineral has been added to it, like they've injected the plant with something. They have not, but it just has a. If you've never had it, I urge everyone to go get a bottle of this for a special occasion. Being that if you find it, the cheapest that I've seen it anywhere is $40, so that's 40. So that now becomes a little bit costlier than a regular, you know, chug it down because you had a hard day at work kind of wine. No, it's a little bit more special than that, you know. On the palate, it is very bold, and it speaks of like a really dark fruit and minerals and bitter, but it's got a weird sweetness at the end. This I could have from when I have an aged cheese as an appetizer on my plate.
Yeah.
I could enjoy it with that. I could enjoy it with home cooking from my region is wild boar and hare and venison. And so that kind of strong in-your-face flavors, you know.
Yeah.
or braised beans or anything like that. So if you're in Texas, you could have it with a lovely smoked brisket or something, you know. And it's just, it doesn't change the taste of the meat. It kind of sits on its own on your taste buds. And it's quite a wonderful party in your mouth once you taste it.
Well, you're making it sound absolutely fabulous.
It is, yeah. So of the more expensive wines, I would opt for this one over any, you know, even the De Cugnano de Barbi or any of the famous ones, or Brunello di Montalcino. Those are $100 bottles. Yes, they're wonderful. But before one gets to those, this is just so extraordinary. And to this one, the music that I would pair is tango or any sort of Latin beat to it, because it is just such a sexy sensation in your mouth.
Sounds like you're talking my language. Patricia mentioned Astor Wines in New York, but if you're not in New York, because people do listen around the world, if you're not in New York, I highly recommend you go to Vivacom to find some of these wines there and have them sent to you to your home. So do you have any recommendations for somebody who's entertaining at home and they want to do a playlist? Because I know that that's pretty popular. I love playlists myself. I have some up on YouTube for those of you who are into playlists with wine. So if you have any suggestions, we would love to have them.
I thank you. I quite love entertaining both at home or renting out a little space in a restaurant. And so what I always do is I start very slow with sort of so people ease into both the experience and the space, whether it be my house or the restaurant. I like 1920s, 1940s jazz. So I would put on, Duke Ellington, just anything.
Any jazz, Duke is always good.
If it's an adult party, if they're kids, you have to sometimes watch out for the words, because you look at some things like the Andrews Sisters, so you have to watch out for that. So it depends if age appropriate, you know, or
absolutely
not. So I would ease them in. Then I always, with my playlist, I like to pair the music. So if I'm cooking at home, paella, let's say, which is rice and fish and whatnot, then I would have Mediterranean music. So I would have, again, the Gypsy Kings. And if it's a quieter crowd, if the age group is a little bit higher, then I would put together a list of, I would put together a list of flamenco guitar, you know, as Paco de Lucia and Aldi Meola and that crew of people. And it's just so beautiful and mellow. It's a sit-down dinner, and that's always wonderful. If it's more of a stand-up and buffet, and then you need something more with a beat. I've gone as far as having all the reggaeton, you know. It's got a beat. There you go.
That's perfect.
So, I would suggest with playlists, consider who's coming, and no one shows up together at the same time. So you will say 6 o'clock, you know, or 5 to 6 cocktails. So for cocktail hour, just as people as ease in one by one, I really love jazz. So and after that, I would have to see what sort of an affair is it.
Yeah, it's all about the vibe and who's there. Yeah.
Right. Because you would, I wouldn't put on reggaeton for my great aunt who's 94. You know, it's just like, it's not going to go well. So there's all sorts of considerations, you know, in that sense. But
I would love to know.
Choices.
Yeah? I would love to know what that great aunt would do with that reggaeton. I would love to see it, though.
She'll probably wiggle her hips, and then we'll have to take her for a hip replacement.
She,
you know.
Right.
You know. But yeah, that's yeah. It I would write down and think of who's coming. So if we think of who's coming, we can pretty much figure out what needs to be at the party. Of course, I always love tangos. They give such an exciting, uneasy attitude to anything and everything. So that's what I love, and that's what I write when I write music. But it's not always appropriate. So
yeah, true.
Yeah.
True. So yeah. Do you have any performances coming up yourself? Do you have anything right now? Or are you taking the summer off to relax?
I'm lucky to be part of the Phantom of the Opera Orchestra on Broadway, so I'm a Phantom
oh.
now.
Oh, and congratulations. Then, that's wonderful.
I've been there for 26 years.
Oh my gosh. I forget that show's been there forever. That's wonderful.
Right.
That's
what you forget is how old I am.
No.
Yeah. Ancient. Yeah. But, yeah, and then other than that, with my string quartet that you heard, we will be part of the Latin American Cultural Week, and we'll perform at the New World Theater on November 15th. So we're looking forward to that. So
that sounds great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's the next endeavor with a quartet. So,
so tell people where to find you. What's your website so they can look you up?
Sure. My website is really for the string quartet that I have, that I write the music for, and it's Quartetto Tomassini. It's too fancy word, but it's like the Tomassini quartet. So it's the word for quartet in Italian, Quartetto, and my last name, Tomassini.com, and we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we put our endeavors there, and we are run by a magical woman who does our PR, Nubia Duval Wilson, who is just wonderful. So you can find us through Cielo Consulting as well. And yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for all your
Yolanda, Susana, you're just lovely. Thank you for giving me this time. And I
of
look
course.
Forward to hearing all your shows.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for everybody for tuning in. Peace, love, and cheers.